go for it. We're going to preach the Bible. This is we're in the second week of our new series, What Would Jesus Say? Someone asked me, was that a mistake? Aren't they supposed to say, what would Jesus do? No, it's not a mistake. Yes, we deliberately changed the last word. So what would Jesus say? We want to try and take the word of God, the word of Jesus, and apply it to our life so there isn't a disconnect between our faith, you know, between a Sunday morning and the rest of the week. God wants to impact all of your life. And so that's what we're trying to do with this. And I've changed the order slightly. We have a published order of the subjects we're preaching on. This week, I'm actually going to do this one, Jesus on stress. What would Jesus say? Jesus on stress. I've changed the order. Particularly, I thought this week, for students and people, exam periods are beginning. So I thought you might like to hear about stress. So actually, university students, I already went to the CU and did a version of this. You'll get the full version today. You got the light version at CU. This is the full version. So hopefully that's all right for you. And then next week, I'm going to do Jesus on popularity. What did Jesus say about popularity? I thought it'd be a good one for election week. Works quite well, doesn't it? So we do popularity in election week and stress as people begin their exam revisions and things like that. So we're going to mix it up a bit today. There's going to be a mix of talk and, right for this, discussion and a fun singing activity and prayer at the end, which has immediately made some of you feel stressed because that's different. Don't be. It's going to be fun. We're having some fun. I want to have fun with you this morning. Okay, so as we start, what I want you to do, just relax. Okay, breathe in. Ready? And out. Relax. We can talk about stress. And I want to ask you this question. What did Jesus say about stress? I just want you to pause and ask yourself, what can you think of from your own knowledge of the teaching of Jesus? What did Jesus say about stress? Don't shout out. Just let your mind wander over some of Jesus' words. Just in peace. For peace this one. Breathe in and out. What did Jesus say about stress? Just let your mind wander. Now, obviously, I'm assuming you're kind of familiar with some of Jesus' teaching. You might not be at all. That's just fine. You will be by the end of the morning. even more if you come back next week. What did Jesus... Anyone able to think of it? What did Jesus say about stress? Just shout something out to me.
Do not be anxious, but in all things.
Do not be anxious.
But in all things,
through prayer and petition. But that's Philippians. And Jesus did write the whole Bible, so we'll have that. And that's good. Sarah, that's good. Try and come into the Gospels a little bit. Go on, Sam. Cast your burdens onto me. Okay, that's 1 Peter 5:7. Okay, that's cool. Try and come into the Gospels a little bit. It's good, though. All good, all true. God wrote all the Bible.
You will have troubles, but fear not.
Oh, yeah. In this, take heart. In this world, you will have trouble, but fear not. I've overcome the world. John 14. Excellent. What else have we got? Seek first the kingdom of God. Yeah. And all these other things. Yeah, don't worry. Seek first the kingdom of God. It's in Matthew and Luke. Yeah. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46, I think. Yes. That's good. I'm testing the old brain here this morning, I think. It's good. Yeah. My peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. Peace the world cannot give. Yes. Fantastic. That was Jesus. Excellent. Lots of things Jesus said about stress. Interesting. There are quite a few things Jesus said about stress. And we'll look at some of them today. But if you were to do a Bible study on the word stress, it would actually be a very short Bible study. Because the ESV translation of the Bible, which is the one we kind of gave out, uses the word stress precisely zero times. From cover to cover. The King James Version, those of you who love the old King James, and indeed the New King James Version, use the word stress zero times. The NIV does use it once. It's in Titus 3, verse 8, where Paul says to Titus, I urge you to stress these things. So not the meaning we mean, meaning stress meaning emphasize, to stress, put an emphasis on these things. The New Living Translation, which is really, you know, modern translation and a paraphrase, uses the word twice. Once in Romans 11, 13, where again it means emphasize, stress this teaching with people. But they do sneak it in. Psalm 119, verse 143, if you've got the New Living Translation, says, as pressure and stress bear down on me, I find joy in your commands. Most translations say anguish, but they sneaked it in, the New Living Translation, just once in Psalms with the meaning we have. So it's quite a short Bible study, isn't it, on the word stress from the Bible. And interestingly, Jesus never used the word stress at all. So that's Jesus on stress. Thanks very much. See you next week. And no, we're going to do more than that. No, we're doing a little more than that. Because that doesn't mean he's got nothing to say about it. Because our modern concept of stress as a human state is quite new, our concept of it. But of course, there's nothing new under the sun. People have been feeling stressed since there were first people. So let's talk for a minute about what we mean by stress. I want to define the word stress and then look at some ways of handling it, and then we're going to come to the Bible. Is that all right? So we're actually going to come to the Bible a little later in the talk this morning, because I want to define the terms first. So the word stress was not used to describe a human mental or emotional state until as recently as the 1950s. Within some of your lifetimes, not mine, it was introduced by a Hungarian guy. Any Hungarians here this morning? Just the one, Andrew. Good to see you. A Hungarian man. His name was Hans Selye. How do you say the name? Okay. Hans Selye. Okay, that's fine. I was hoping there was some great Hungarian pronunciation there. He looks like a scientist, doesn't he? I love that picture. And playing with the rat. He was an endocrinologist, and although there is a small amount of dispute, it's generally considered that he first termed stress to apply to what he had begun to observe, which what he started off by calling it a generalized anxiety disorder. And he began to notice that there were some people who were just generally anxious about life, and that he caused a generalized anxiety disorder. And in time, he began to coin this phrase stress. He did later go on to say that had he understood the English language better, he would have used a different word. And he would have used the word strain instead. Because, as every good physicist should be able to tell you in science, the word stress refers to the force upon an object, and strain is the response of the object to that stress. Who knows that from science? A bit of revision for science. Who's doing GCSE, A-level, or degree science as a wave? Yeah. Okay, so stress and strain. The problem is he didn't realise, he got his words the wrong way around. So afterwards, Hans the Hungarian, realising he'd got the word wrong, basically apologised, said, I should have used strain, and has been confusing GCSE science students ever since about what the word stress means. Stress is not actually a response to pressure. Stress is, in fact, the force upon you. So really we should be talking about feeling strained, not feeling stressed. But I think that ship has long since sailed. But there you go, he got the word wrong. So what is stress? And what do we mean by feeling stressed? So generally, this is what I want to get to this morning, a word that we use to describe a state of mental or emotional strain, so got that in there, or a tension resulting from adverse or demanding circumstances. I'll say that again. We're talking about Jesus on stress. Stress is a state of mental or emotional strain or tension resulting from adverse or demanding circumstances. Notice, of course, I say mental or emotional, but it feels to me like stress can affect every part of us, so we can be affected physically, spiritually, mentally or emotional. It's all possible, but we're one person. And if one part is affected, all parts of us are affected. So, for example, emotional stress can lead quite easily to physical or mental symptoms, can't it? Maybe you've experienced those sorts of things. You have emotional stress and you can end up with physical symptoms, such as, right, symptoms of stress. Do you want to hear some? See if you've got any of these this morning. Symptoms of stress can include high blood pressure, chest pain. I'm getting a wave over there, yeah? Keep taking the tablets. High blood pressure and deal with your stress. Chest pain. An irregular heartbeat. Strokes. Fertility problems. Hair loss. Anyone? Hair loss. It can also cause, ready for this, stomach ulcers. Irritable bowel syndrome. Mood swings. It can lead to overeating and weight gain. It can cause jaw ache, as people grind their teeth in their sleep and chewed cheeks. It can cause eczema, loss of sleep, skin shedding. People actually start to shed skin. Yeah, loss of sleep and headaches. And also being stressed leads to a much greater likelihood of having an accident. So if you're driving or operating machinery, stress can do you in. And in children who live with stress over a number of years, as they are growing, it can actually result in stunted growth. How about that? So the symptoms of stress can be really quite serious, a real physical problem. Now, I said I'd mix it up a little bit. So in order to raise the stress level slightly this morning, I want to pause for a minute. We're going to talk to each other. I want you to just consider one question. What causes you to feel stressed? That's the question. What causes you to feel stressed? Just find someone nearby you. And just a quick discussion. I'm going to give you a minute or so, and then we'll get some feedback. What causes you to feel stressed? And some of you are thinking, talking to someone I don't know. If I was really accurate, I'd be asking you what stresses cause you to feel strained. But, you know. Okay, let's kind of come back together. We're going to get some answers here. What causes you to feel stressed? Or I say, what stresses make you feel strained, if we want to get scientific about it and put hands right? But what makes you feel stressed? Moving house, yep. What else? Making decisions? Having a house? Sorry? A sick partner, yeah. Sick relative or partner. An unexpected bill, that'll do, yeah. With someone over here?
Life.
Death. Yeah, okay. Like, what else we got? Unexpected bills? Traffic jams. Oh, they're a killer, aren't they? Absolutely. You gone, Viv? Yeah, being late for an appointment. That gets me.
Being a parent.
Absolutely. Too much to do? Yep.
Looking after these two,
he says over the back. Yeah. Losing stuff. Yeah, that'll do it for you. Jobs. Having a job. Yeah. Being restricted. Yeah, putting restrictions on you. Absolutely. A lot of things, aren't there, that cause us to feel stressed. And I think if we sat longer, we could probably come up with a much longer list. But all sorts of things can cause us stress. Lots of stressful things. I mean, some severe ones. I made a little list of some of the most severe. One or two we've had mention of. But the death of a spouse is apparently the number one most stressful thing, beyond everything else, apparently, is losing your life partner. Complete choice. It changes everything. It's death of a spouse. Divorce or separation is a close second, hot on the heels. Imprisonment. It's interesting we didn't say, but going to prison apparently is extremely stressful. Personal injury, an illness. Interesting. Being married. It's lower down the list than divorce or separation. Being single. Family pressure. Redundancy and retirement. And pressure at work. All three. Having a baby. Raising children, being unable to have a baby, all on the list. Financial worries and buying a house, we have one or two of these. It's just to list a few. Some of us are going through these right now. But here's the thing to note about stress. A little bit of stress can be good for you. Sorry, we really will come to the Bible, don't worry. I'm heading there slowly. I'm just circling around the issue. A little bit of stress can be good for you. There's a lovely graph there. You see that? Up the along the bottom is how stressed you are, from low stress at the left through to super high stress at the right. And then your performance from low to high. And so you notice that it starts really low. If you have no stress at all, life can be actually quite boring, even depressing. And as your stress levels rise, your performance rises. So you get increased attention and interest. And there's a point, they say, of optimal performance, where your stress is just right and you're performing well. Too much stress, however, we get into strong anxiety and then eventually complete meltdown. And if you've ever known anyone that's had a total nervous breakdown as a result of too much stress for too long. But that's, so a little bit of stress can be good for you. And there's a point where we perform well, which is different for each of us. There are times, however, when we'll be right up the far end of too much stress. And when we're talking about stress, I think it's probably the far end that we're thinking about, right? It's bad stress, stress that damages us. And we'll focus on that today. Just a few more little interesting stress facts. Did you know that men are much more likely to get stressed than women? Okay, that's just factual case, but women are more likely than men to commit suicide as a result of being stressed. There you go. So men are more likely to get stressed, women are more likely as a result of stress to commit suicide, especially working mothers, apparently. You know that chewing gum can be a stress reliever. So if you've got jaw pain particularly, but just in general, chewing gum is a stress reliever. Do keep your chewing noises down, though, or those next to you may wish to express their stress in your direction. cocoa and chocolate, apparently, are known to reduce stress. So if you feel stressed and eat chocolate, there is a biological thing going on there, and apparently it does. It's an antioxidant. Apparently it also reduces stress. And I love this one. Just thinking about stress relief leads to stress relief. How about that? So you can feel really stressed, just pausing and thinking, I'm stressed, I need to get my stress levels down. That in itself alone is enough to start to lower your stress levels. So let's just try that for a moment. You ready? Okay, we're just going to do it again, okay? Just breathe in and breathe out. It's good, isn't it? Breathe in. You say to yourself, let it go. Breathe out. Breathe in and relax. Okay, I hope you're all feeling less stressed now. But also having fun can reduce your stress levels. So I want you to help me this morning. Can we all just start to click our fingers? Just in time, all right, ready? Okay, let's keep it going with me. Now, over here, I want you to be ready, okay? You're going to say something for me. You're going to say, don't worry. Again, don't worry. Okay, that's good. Over here. All right, you hold just a clicking. Okay, I'll bet you say it again in a minute. You can say over here if you're this side. Be happy. Again. That's good. All right, okay, it's good. It's good. In the middle here, you can sing with me. You ready? Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do. Okay, keep the clicking going. In the middle here, I need your help. We're going to beatbox it a little bit. Mbaba, mbaba, mbaba. Ba-ba-ba-ba. Keep it going. Ready? Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Very good. Okay. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it double. Very good. All right, do 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 do. Look at me, I'm happy. Okay, we'll stop there. That's fine. you can sing. Who feels better now? Less stressed? It doesn't take much, does it? Right, we're going to do the Bible. Listen, there are all sorts of things that people can turn to for help in times of stress. 1 Peter 5 verse 7, the Apostle Peter wrote this, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Peter knew Jesus. And Peter wrote this, cast your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Jesus knows about the stress and troubles in your life and he cares about them. And he cares about you. And Peter knew Jesus. And Peter wrote those words so that today we can hold on to them. And I want us to consider some of Jesus' words about stress. And I want to read a passage. We're going to the New Testament, Luke 12. If you've got your Bible, there's two main passages. And this is one of them. I want to focus in on. So look this one up. Let's see what it says. Luke 12. Jesus said this. Are you ready? Verse 22 to 32. He had some fun. You enjoy the singing? A bit of fun? Feeling a bit less stressed? Let's see what Jesus had to say about it, okay? Jesus said this, do not worry about your life. This is Luke 12, verse 22. Oh, don't worry, said Jesus. Do not worry about your life. What you'll eat, or about your body, what you'll wear. For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They don't sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? And since you can't do this little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wild flowers grow. They don't labor or spin. But I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And don't set your heart on what you'll eat or drink. And don't worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all these things. Set your heart, all these things. Your Father knows you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Don't be afraid, little flock. Your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Let's just pause there. Now, most people don't find that passage a controversial passage. And the reason is because they haven't understood it. And I think, read it like it's nothing more than a first century version of the song, Don't Worry, Be Happy. Jesus, don't worry about your life. Don't worry, you'll eat or drink. Don't worry, be happy. As though that's what Jesus said. As though Jesus' teaching is just a feel-good philosophy that you could post. Jesus said, do not worry. Just stick it on Twitter or Facebook and all your friends will become Christians. It tells us, actually, this passage, something very different. Jesus' teaching is not a feel-good philosophy. He didn't mean, don't worry, be happy, at all. That's not what Jesus was talking about. Actually, this passage is telling us that a lot of the stress we face is a symptom of idolatry and self-worship. Sometimes our stress is the result of a sinful, self-centered attitude. And so often, being stressed is seen as a good thing. It's like something to be proud of. I find this amongst church leaders. I meet with them quite often. And often busyness and stress is like the badge of honor that you wear. So you say, how are you? Oh, busy, lots on, all quite stressed, lots going on. Busy week. Oh, yeah, very busy week. You know, and it's like, oh, I've got to put it on. It's not just church leaders. It's all of us. When did you last hear someone answer the question, how are you, by saying, I am well rested, I am relaxed, my work-life balance is good, my job's in hand, I'm doing well. Oh, I'm busy, busy, can't be busy, everyone's busy, how are you? Busy, busy, can't stop, I'm busy. Because if you're not busy, you're not important enough or something. And actually, we love to be busy, it makes us feel important, it makes us feel validated. So we tap away at the smartphone, tap away at the iPad, got to squeeze the maximum out of every second of the day, email, social networking, get that work done, spills over into evenings and weekends. Question, quick show of hands, who checks their emails in bed at night? Be honest. Okay, who checks their emails before they get out of bed in the morning? Or before breakfast? Who has checked their emails since the start of this sermon? There'll be some of you. Okay. Do you know, 20% of British workers, that's 1 in 5, take time off work due to stress every year. Over 5 million admit that they spend most of their life very or extremely stressed. So when Jesus said to the disciples, do not worry, he wasn't giving them a soundbite for us to post on Twitter 2,000 years later. He was challenging the heart of the way we live our lives. He was challenging self-idolatry, saying this, that when you're driven by over-busyness and self-absorption, it's a sin. I'll show you why, all right? The Bible begins with God creating the world. It took God 6 days, and on the seventh day, he rested. But get this, God didn't rest on the seventh day because he was tired after such a huge job. Goodness me, making the universe, that's been exhausting. Better have a day off. Doesn't work like that. God didn't do that. In fact, the Bible puts it like this in Mark 2. It says the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Jesus tells us that God rested not for God's sake, but for Adam's sake. Think about it. Day 7 for God was day 1 for Adam. Yeah? His life started. He was made. Adam's first full day of existence was a day off. Begin with a day off. God created a human being who needed to stop every day for mealtimes and for sleep. And God wanted to teach Adam from the first beginning to relax with God in a garden he hadn't planted, enjoying animals he hadn't made, eating fruit and food he hadn't grown. In short, God wanted Adam to grasp that God is God and we're not God. And Adam and Eve would not have known what stress was till they decided to try and be God for themselves and rejected God's plan and his lordship, leading to the curses of Eden with painful toil and by the sweat of your brow, you'll produce food. So humanity rejected paradise and chose stress and worry instead. Fast forward a few centuries from the Garden of Eden, and we get Moses giving the Israelites God's commands from Mount Sinai, which included in the Ten Commandments, take one day off as a day of rest. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy, on it you shall do no work. And later on, describing the Sabbath, this extra verse is added, Exodus 31:13, talking about the Sabbath day, this will be a sign between me and you for generations to come, that you may know I am the Lord. Why does God call you to take a day off? Because honouring a day off each week is a demonstration that God is God. And he even warned the Israelites, slightly further on, if they fail to rest, they will get burnout and exhaustion. And then Moses, in Numbers 15, under God's guidance, even ordered execution by stoning for a guy who was caught breaking the Sabbath by gathering firewood. That's Numbers 15. He was brought to Moses, and God said to the community, stone him to death. Sounds extreme, unless we realise that I'm worried is sometimes another way of saying, I don't believe God can do his job without me. Or I'm stressed, I feel stressed, can be another way of saying, I'm trying to do God's job for him, it's not working out for me. Jesus warns us that stress and worry is not a minor vice or a personality flaw, it's a symptom that you are a self-worshipping idolater. That's quite extreme, isn't it? So Jesus teaching in Luke 12, don't worry, be happy. No, it's repent. Stop running after the things that pagan unbelievers run after. And Jesus lists the things the world runs after. Money, food, clothes and health. Those are things he lists. He said the pagan world runs after these things. People who don't know God will get stressed about these things because they're living their life as their own little God. And so they feel the burden of providing for themselves. And we mustn't be the same. And Jesus pointed his disciples to the birds and the flowers, things that busy, stressed people will never have time to notice, and preached a sermon about God's care and provision for birds and flowers and how he looks after you. And so for a self-obsessed, ego-driven society, driven by a love of money, status, fame, personal advancement and power, Jesus' command, seek first the kingdom of God and trust me for the rest, is a complete antidote to the stress and worries of daily life. But it upsets people because it points us away from being God of our own life and actually says we put Jesus in control. It points us away from self-idolatry and self-fulfillment and says trust God instead. It puts his kingdom first, saying, God, you do what you're going to do and you be my father and my provider. It takes you off the throne, puts Jesus on instead. So this teaching of Jesus on stress, rather than wrapping us in cotton wool and going, there, poor baby, feel better now, says repent of your self-centered, self-focused, self-idolatry, and seek my kingdom first, and then I'll take the stress off you and provide for you. Cast your anxieties on him because he cares for you doesn't just mean hand it over to Jesus and go and sit quietly in a corner and do nothing while he sorts your life out. Far from laying everything down and doing nothing, it actually calls us to cast our anxieties on him in such a way that you let him do what only he can do, but then you begin to take his priorities up for your life and ministry instead. And it starts then to make sense, for example, of this teaching of Jesus on stress. Matthew 11, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest and you'll never have to do another thing. Doesn't say that. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. So yoke, what oxen would have been yoked into to plow. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I'm gentle and humble in heart and you'll find rest from your souls for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So it's not lay your burden down and carry nothing. It's stop carrying the wrong things and carry what I've given you to carry instead. Do you see the difference? It's not do nothing. It's carry what I've said. Otherwise, the worries of this life, the pursuit of money and paying your bills and dealing with moving house and dealing with relationships, all these things, they can choke your faith completely. Do you remember the parable of the sower? So some of the seed fell amongst thorns, and it died. And Luke 8:14 says this. As for the seed that fell among the thorns, that stands for those who hear. But as they go on their way, they're choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life. And their fruit does not mature. Riches, pleasures and cares. We get the riches and pleasures. Oh yeah, let's not go running after money and pleasure and cares. Worries can destroy your faith just as much as a love of money. So let's get this right. When we get an example, so like next, you know, this is just in like the next but one chapter of Luke, of how to get it right and how to get it wrong. Luke 10:38-42, it says this: as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and there was a woman named Martha who welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary, and Mary sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching, but Martha was distracted with serving. And then she went to Jesus and said, Lord, don't you care my sister's left me to serve alone? And Jesus said, he said, tell her to help me. And Jesus said, Martha, you're anxious and you're troubled about many things. There's only one thing that's necessary. Mary has chosen what's good and it won't be taken from her. Mary's sitting at Jesus' feet. Martha's running around. He said, Mary, stop worrying. Come and listen to me. I don't know how Martha responded on that day, but her stress took her away from a relationship with Jesus. So busy doing the right thing that she didn't enjoy Jesus' presence when the opportunity was given. And I don't know, following that conversation, if she sat or just ran out and carried on. Oh, he doesn't get it. I better keep going. We don't know. We're not told. I suspect the latter, to be honest. But shortly afterwards, Jesus went to the cross and she didn't get the chance to sit and listen to him again. Yeah, I wonder if she missed a moment. So stress can be an indication of sin. But I just want to clarify one thing, because we've seen how it can be self-idolatry and it can be sinfully putting ourselves on the throne of our life. But that doesn't mean feeling stressed is therefore always sinful. In fact, we know that for a fact because Jesus felt stress. And there's one particular occasion in the Bible where we see him very stressed. And I just want to talk about how Jesus handled stress before we finish. Okay? Because Jesus has a response to stress. There are some situations in life that will cause you stress. There's no question. You won't get through life without feeling stress. Don't let it be caused by your own self-idolatry. Deal with that one. But even putting that aside, you will find stressful situations in life to deal with. And don't worry, be happy is not enough when your child's got cancer or your house is being repossessed or you're facing a serious accusation or your family life is falling apart or you're being persecuted for your faith or you've just uncovered an immoral affair or you've just been made redundant or bereaved. Don't worry, be happy isn't enough. And those things and others like them would cause great stress. It'll all work out in the end. Chill out. Everything happens for a reason. Just go, let it go. It's not good enough, actually. Platitudes like that do not help in life's properly stressful moments at all. And you will face some. We need something better. So remembering that not all stress is sin, because Jesus got stressed, and we also know Jesus never sinned. Let's just quickly look at his example. I want to read it to you. It's Matthew 26:36-46. This is Jesus on stress. Well, Jesus under great stress. Grab it in your Bible. It's the second passage. And then we'll see how Jesus handled it. It says this. Jesus, it's right before the crucifixion. Jesus went with the disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. And he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him and began to be sorrowful and troubled. And he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground. And he prayed, Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me, but not as I will, but as you will. And then he returned to the disciples and found them sleeping. Couldn't you keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. Watch and pray that you won't fall into temptation. The spirit's willing, the flesh is weak. And Jesus went away a second time and prayed, Father, if it's not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. And when he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed a third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said, are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour's come. The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let's go. Here comes my betrayer. This is right before Jesus' crucifixion, his arrest. He's stressed. Luke's gospel records the same story as Matthew, but Luke puts in one extra detail. He tells us that Jesus began to sweat drops of blood. And there is a medical condition. It's called hematohidrosis. There's a picture of it. It's real. Apparently, around the sweat glands, around your body, there's lots of blood vessels in a net form. And under great stress, the vessels constrict. And then as anxiety progresses, they dilate to a point where they rupture and blood begins to come out in your sweat glands, sweating drops of blood. And it pushes blood to the surface. And that kid there in that photo, young man, has got it. That's sweating drops of blood. That's what it's talking about. It's a real situation. Jesus was that stressed. So I just want to make the point this morning. Listen, feeling stress can be caused by sinful attitudes. And if that's the case, put Jesus first. But that's not to say that feeling stressed is always sinful, because Jesus felt stressed to the point that he sweated drops of blood like this photo here, but how did Jesus respond to it? Because some circumstances are horrible, and I don't think any of us so far have faced anything as horrific as Jesus at the crucifixion. What did Jesus do? First of all, ready? He prayed. It's verse 36. He prayed. He said, he just says, sit here while I go over there and pray. When you're stressed, first thing you need to do is bring it to God in prayer. Second thing Jesus did, he got to a place where he could process what was going on. So he went out to the Garden of Eden, the Garden of Gethsemane. Sorry, he went out. He said, we're going out to a garden. I need to. He didn't just carry on surrounded by everyone. He got away from the table. He left most of the disciples behind. He just took Peter, James, and John. I need space. He knew what was coming. He was stressed enough to sweat drops of blood. He had to get his head right. So Jesus found space on his own to process what was going on. But he didn't just stay on his own. He also asked for support from close friends. And we find Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, it's Peter, James, and John, who were his closest disciples, with him. He says, you three come. Didn't tell everybody. It's interesting, a group of 12 disciples, 11 because one was off to betray him, but he just picked three of them and said, I want you with me in this situation. We don't just lay everything out with everybody, but get where you can process stuff and then ask for support from close friends. Fourth thing is he told them how he felt. I know, guys, we sometimes struggle with this, but this is Jesus, verse 38. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Jesus expressed his feelings externally. This is how I feel. If you don't tell people, they don't know. All right? They can't guess. Jesus prayed if. This is the fifth thing. He prayed if. So in his prayer, he says, Father, if it's possible, take this away from me. I know sometimes you can get sort of an extreme of charismatic Christianity that says using the word if might be a lack of faith. Lord, if it's your will. Oh, it won't happen if you pray like that. Don't say, got to name it and claim it. No if. No, Jesus prayed if. If it's your will. Jesus didn't have the arrogance to presume he knew God's will and start demanding it and claiming it. Although he's God himself, he didn't presume to know what the Father wanted. He said, if it's your will, please take it away from me. But not my will, but yours be done. It's not a lack of faith in your situation to pray if. When your child's got cancer, when your redundancy looks looming, when you don't know how it's going to stack up with your family, Lord, if you are willing, if it's okay to pray if. But he also didn't just pray if, he also prayed Father. He said, Father, 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 if it is your will. He looked to a father to provide for him, which is so important in times of stress. Remember, you have a father. He also prayed more than once. He prayed it three times. So he prayed it once, can't pray it again because that shows a lack of faith. No, he prayed it three times. He kept going back, and then he went back, and then he went back. Sometimes stress, you can be stressed. It's okay to worry away at it, like a dog with a bone, worry away at it in prayer before God. Lord, help me, Lord. That's okay. Jesus prayed a long time. And he didn't just pray more than once. He did pray a long time. Verse 39 tells us it was at least an hour, and it was probably three. It may have been an hour each time. So he gave time to God. It wasn't a quick, oh, Lord, help me, and then a complaint when nothing happened. He gave it an hour, and then another hour, and then another hour. That was Jesus praying in this situation. And I want you to notice the ninth thing he did, he submitted to his Father's will. And we see that in verse 39 and 42. Father, if you are willing, but not my will, but yours be done. And then in verse 42, his prayer, if it's possible, take this cup away, but may your will be done. So he actually submitted to the Father's will. He was willing to walk God's plan. Do you know, submission to God is a key to living free of stress. Submission to God's will is a key to living free of stress. His ways, not your ways. And the last thing I want to point to is this, that he worshipped. Submission is worship. But catch this here. So he started off in the first verse, he said, not my will, but yours be done. That was submission. And then he got right into worship. A little later on when he began to say, may your will be done. And there's a difference in the language. The second prayer goes from, not my will, but yours. That's the first prayer. The second prayer is, may your will be done. It's like he's made progress in prayer from, okay, not mine, to, actually, I just want your will. And the result is that Jesus came out of the garden strong. So we go from, can you see the difference that this made to his strength? We go from, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Sweating drops of blood, says Luke, to the end, verse 45, he returned to the disciples and said, you still sleeping and resting? The hour's come. I'm betrayed into the hands of sinners. Come on, let's go. I'm going to meet my betrayer. Total transformation through prayer. Goes from, I'm sorrowful, need help, to let's go. Come on, wake up. facing the accusers. This is your hour when darkness reigns. This is Jesus. He got strong through spending time with God and dealing with his stress. And in that strength of God, Jesus went boldly to the cross and died in our place. And he carried the ultimate stress of life so that he can stand with us. And I don't know what stresses you're facing right now. I know some of them, actually, for some of you, but I don't know all of them. But I'm sure that Jesus knows every situation and he cares. And we're going to bring them in prayer to him. And we're going to ask for his presence and peace. So let's have our worship team up. But what I want us to do is lay these things down. Let's stand together, shall we? We're going to ask God to do what only God can do. And then we're going to worship just like Jesus did. Is that right? So we're going to pray. We're going to lay it down. And then we're going to worship and ask God to do what only God can do. But let's just wait for a moment. I don't know what stress you're going through. I don't know what you're facing. But why don't you just close your eyes, come before the Lord, and we'll just lift it. Lord, I want to pray for my brothers and sisters this morning. Lord, many of us facing all sorts of different stresses. And Jesus, I want to thank you that at the cross, you paid the price for me. And Lord, right now this morning, we want to lay down to you, lay down before you, all these situations that we are facing. And why don't you in your heart just lay before God whatever it is that's giving you that stress right now? There'll be something for lots of us. It might be small things, but for some it could be huge. Just lay it down before him. And we want to pray, Lord, if you're willing, would you take this away from me? But not my will, but yours be done. And in fact, we'll go one further and pray, Lord, in this situation, may your will be done. And Lord, I choose to trust in you who died for me. Lord, would you strengthen me? Lord, would you remind me that you're my Father? Lord, as I leave this situation with you. Amen. And I think